Singing to the Lord, it's part of worship, but we want to continue as well the rest of the service worshiping the Lord through hearing His word and putting it in practice as we hear and are convicted from the Spirit, as we pray, as we stay in the presence of the Lord and fellowship with each other. Everything that we do here is a worship toward our Lord Jesus. So thank you so much, worship team. I just don't want to lose time. I want to get right away to the word that we have for today. And if you please can open your Bibles or turn on your Bibles, however that works for you. At 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 21. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 21. Where the word of God says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober," another translation says, "therefore," as well, with minds to action, to get to action. So it's a call to action, how we put this in practice. "Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.' Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. A lamb without blemish or defect, He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Amen. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God." Amen. Let us pray. Father, we heard your word, and we don't just want to be hearers, but we want to be doers of your word. Lord, as your word is proclaimed to us through your Spirit, I just pray, O Lord, that in our hearts, in our spirit, in our mind, we take a commitment and a decision to put your word to practice by the power of the Spirit. Lord, we want to be like you, Jesus. Yes. And you are holy, nothing less. Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, by the power of what you have done, through your blood, purify us, change us, transform us, give us the power that we need to live a holy life for you and for your glory. Lord Jesus, shine through us, so others can see you in us and that they might believe as well. Lord, may I be a voice and a voice alone, and may only the name of Jesus be glorified. As I preach, Lord, not just when studying it, but as I preach as well, convict me and change me as well daily, Lord. We give you glory in your name and name alone, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Before we get to the text and maybe just go verse by verse and just see what it says to us, I want for us to look at this text maybe just in a different way. I hope it's a famous text for all of us or most of us, because I do believe when speaking of holiness is such an important passage for us to know very well and put it in practice. But to look this text in a different way. So we'll not just look it as different verses, but we'll look it in a practical sense with three different people. Because I believe when we put things to practice, it helps us visualize, it helps us see ourselves in one of those persons, or it helps us aim something practically. So speaking of holiness, I just want to say that is the most important inward element What do I mean by that? A lot of the things that we do or we are called to do are a reflection of something, are fruits of something, are things we are commanded to do as Christians, and so forth. And then you can think of a long list of that. But not many things are inward as holiness. Holiness is a position. It's something that happens in us. It's not just about what we do. A reflection happens. There are things that happen when we are holy, but holiness is a position of who we are. And that's extremely important. And as we will see there as well. But I want us to see the two extremes, the first person and the second person. And then there is a middle person. There is a third person, which is our ultimate example, Jesus Christ. And then we want to follow that third example. And as we will see through the text, which is a call for each one of us to be. But the first person, when thinking of holiness, there are a lot of people in our midst, a lot of our friends, even some of us, that when they think about holiness and striving for holiness, striving to be more holy, and obviously that is a battle against sin, that is a fight to not conform to the world, to not stay in a condition of sin and comfortable there, but to change. So a lot of people, when they think of holiness, they only focus on the grace of God. They say, God is gracious, He has saved me, and I'm okay. You know, this is how I am. I'm human. I'm weak. Accept me as I am. What can I do? This is my challenge. This is my weakness. But still, God loves me. You know, and all things. Obviously, let me clarify so you don't misunderstand me. I don't doubt it for a second that God loves me to where we are. And I've preached a lot. I preach a lot about the love of God, about the grace of God. Is what melts my heart, is why we are here. But the point is, that's not the whole counsel of the world, of the Word of God. So obviously we know those things and we agree with that. But that doesn't mean that we should excuse our mistakes. We should excuse sin. That we should fall in a compromised position. And even among Christians, you've heard that, hey, expressions like, hey, I'm not Jesus. This is how I am. That's not the biblical teaching. The biblical teaching obviously is that we are weak. We fall. Obviously, it's a battle between the spirit and the flesh. And yes, our flesh is weak. And many times we fall. But the biblical teaching is that yes, it's possible to be like Jesus. Yes, it's possible to strive for holiness. And actually, guess what? The Bible tells us to be like Jesus. The Bible tells us to imitate Him. Now, obviously, are we there? Absolutely not. We are on the way. Otherwise, we wouldn't be still here on earth. We are in the progress of the sanctification in our life. So one day when we'll be before Him, we will be transformed to the image of Christ. But the point is, that's not good expressions to be in our vocabulary as Christians. Well, because it just excuses us, meaning like, well, I'm human, what can I do, you know? So this is how I am. Let's erase those expressions from our vocabulary. But these people in this position only focus on the grace of the Lord. Only just on the grace. And they stay in that position. And in a way, they're compromised. In a way, they justify. There is no true striving. There is no true battle. There is just, this is how I am. I'm saved. I believe in the grace of the Lord. And then everything is fine. Obviously, we are saved in the Lord and only through Jesus. And I'm not talking here about the salvation of deeds. We are saved only through Jesus and Him alone. But the point is, there is a journey here on earth. There is a process of sanctification. There is a battle against sin, against the world, against the darkness, against evil. There is a battle that we face. It's not just a condition of comfort and falling there. So one extreme is this first person, and we can speak a lot about that. And I believe that every one of us has maybe met people like this, or maybe even us maybe challenged sometime or maybe struggle or fall in that position. Now the second person, and this is the person maybe I relate the most, and I have to fight not to fall. The second person is from the other extreme. So this is one extreme. Obviously, there is a position of balance, so all the things, the biblical truths in this position, but then there is the other extreme as well. The other extreme now is someone who is definitely fighting for holiness. He's striving and he wants to be disciplined. He wants to fight and all that. He definitely believes in those things that, you know, what we have ahead of us. But what he does is many times he forgets that it's all about Jesus. It's by the power of Jesus, by his grace, that in our strength we fall. But because of his striving, and when he falls, he feels so bad, so guilty, and so desperate. And in this position, and in this second person, I fall myself a lot of times. And when he falls, he just feels, he condemns himself, and he feels so ashamed, like, well, how could I have done this? And even it takes time for him to just get back right away, and repent, and just be purified again, and so he can start. So that's his challenge. The second person, this is his challenge, as in the other extreme, striving, but the point is focusing so much on that sometimes from the good intentions, it just brings negative effects, you know. And that's a position that the enemy can use. He wants us to condemn ourselves. He wants us. Now the intention is good because we're angry with what we did, but the point is we should quickly go to the Lord. Ask forgiveness over and over again, as fast as we can. Now I know it's not as easy as said, because the last person we forgive is ourselves. That is the last person we forgive. It's hard to forgive others. I'm not saying that's easy, but we do forgive others, and we are Christians. We are commanded to forgive and be good forgivers. But the point is, the last person we forgive is ourselves. And even with me, unfortunately, it just takes so long sometimes, you know, just to forgive myself. So in this position is the other extreme, that, you know, striving for holiness and trying to have that. But the point is forgetting that, you know, we're still humans, though, that, yes, that falling going to happen, and we quickly should repent, quickly should be purified over and over by that blood of Jesus. In the sacrifice that he has done, he did it once and for all. And he didn't do it just for when we repented and believed first in him, but he did it for all of our life. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's go to the third person. I'll go back and forth, but to the third person, it's all the advices that are here. Now, how can we be this person? How can we be Jesus? How can we imitate him? Well, Apostle Peter starts from the beginning very, very quickly in calling us to action. So holiness, it's not just something, it's not just a position, stay here, hey, I want to be holy, and then instantly you become holy. There is a process, and that process is called sanctification. So holiness, holy, it's a position, but then the process is called sanctification. Now let me clarify something which I believe is important. The only person who doesn't need the process to be holy is God. The only person who doesn't need the process to be holy is God. He has always been holy, he is holy, and always will be holy. Holy is the position he holds for all eternity. But for us, because of our fallen nature, Christ came to restore, but we are still here on earth. So there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And then this process to let the spirit continually transform us, to make us like Christ, is called sanctification. And that's our call from the Word of God. Now, the hope and the grace of the Lord, what amazes me, so we are in verse 1, it will be revealed in the coming of Christ. And then you can think, like, how will this be revealed in the coming of Christ? Don't I know the hope and grace that we have in Christ? Definitely, we have known grace. Definitely we have known hope. But brothers and sisters, it's exciting to know that there is more. There will be a glorious grace and hope that you could ever comprehend when Christ will come. Amen. When we will be whole. When we will be what we meant, and when we will be for the whole eternity. And when we will be like Jesus, it will be something beyond comprehension. The grace that we will feel in the new person when this body will be transformed and this mortal body will be gone, and what we will know and feel and experience and the position that we will be beyond comprehension. Amen. So brothers and sisters, let us be actually glad that Jesus is coming. Amen. We want more time so others can get saved, but for us, it should be a joy. And he calls us obedient children. He calls us children because the Father loves us. But he calls us obedient. And may we be obedient. Thank you, Father, for your trust. But we want to be obedient. Yes. Obedient, it doesn't mean it's just like for granted. It's something we should do. But we are his children. And he wants us obedient children. Everybody he created, actually, are his creation, his children. But they are obedient and disobedient children. And we want to be obedient children. He calls us to be holy because, and actually calls us to be holy in all that we do. Not just to be holy, but in all that we do. And he calls us to be holy because God is holy. Now we know very well, and I'll mention in the end, but we know very well that no one will see God if he or she is not holy. And I think is worth mentioning in this verse that the term holiness does scare us a little bit, doesn't it? It's such a deep term, and it's something that obviously we don't see ourselves like that, even if we strive. I believe most of us, we want to be in this third person, but and we think maybe we are the third person, but I don't really think we are yet. You know, we all of us are in this battle, and we should continue to fight. But when we think of ourselves like, oh, holy or holiness, it just seems something we get a little bit scared of as thinking on that term. And absolutely, humility is what we should be after. But the point is, at the same time, we should ask what God calls us for. So it's not a bad thing if you strive and you say that I am holy to get in that position. Because you know what? It's not about you, brothers and sisters. You and I can never be holy in our strength. You and I can never be holy in our strength. People tried it in generations. People tried it in all kinds of religions. We see in the Bible from our ancestors to the people of Israel failed over and over and over and over again. Obviously, there were people who were holy, but they were the minority. They were truly people which are a great example for us. But the majority, definitely something that, you know, they failed. Do you know what is the difference between us and the people of Israel or the people before Christ? The difference is that us, brothers and sisters, as Christians, because of what Christ has done for us, we have an advantage that they didn't have. And this advantage makes the whole difference. This advantage is, and Maya mentioned it before, this advantage is that the Holy Spirit abides in us. The Spirit of God, which represents holiness, the Spirit of God lives in us. And you can read of that the Spirit of God lives in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, all those things. And I don't know what you think, but I am in awe. I can never comprehend how the Spirit of the Lord, of the living God, lives in us. But however it is, I believe it, I experience it, I feel it, it leads me, it touches me, it speaks me, it does everything what Jesus promised that it will do, that it will lead me to speak what to say when I need, that it will counsel me, it will comfort me, it will lead me, it will teach me what Jesus taught, and so forth. Amen. Definitely is given to give us power when we witness. But the Holy Spirit, the most important thing that is given to us, is to make us like Jesus. And brothers and sisters, this is a huge difference. We have something that those people didn't have. And that's why we should cut off those expressions from our vocabulary. Because God said, and we believe, He said that it's possible, and we want as Christians to live a victorious life. Amen. We want to live a victorious life. We want to live a life in holiness. We want to live a life to be more like Jesus. I know I'm not yet there, but I want to. I long for it. I know I fall every day, but the point is, I long for that. We are intended for that, and it's possible to do that, to have that. And I'm not saying that I have it every day. I strive for that. I want to live daily like that. But the point is, the days that I have it, it's extraordinary. And I think you can relate, you can think of those days. To be holy. Tozer put it very well. He says, no man should desire to be happy who is not at the same time holy. He should spend his efforts in seeking to know and do the will of God, leaving to Christ the matter of how happy he should be. When we hear a lot in a lot of churches, a lot of sermons, we happily talk about happiness. We happily talk because people, they want to be happy. Well, I want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. I don't doubt that. But happiness and joy and peace and love and kindness, great themes to talk about. Holiness, striving, discipline, fight against sin, fight against your comfort. Get every room in your heart, every room in your life to be emptied and cleaned. Not so much. Not so exciting. Entertainment, so thinking to produce joy. Brothers and sisters, I've realized, maybe you have realized, but I think in that realization that I'm about to say, knowing that and putting that in practice and daily putting that in practice is what changes everything. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there is no true joy if we don't have the holiness of God. The bad days I have is when I struggle with those things, because my failures, my sin have impacted me. But the point is, we should quickly get to repentance. We should quickly get to Jesus, purify us over and over. Think of a river. What happens to a river? It is a moving water, continually moves and moves and moves. Even if there is earth around from both sides and under, the water is clean as it gets. Why? Because He's moving and moving and moving. That's what the Holy Spirit should do inside each one of us. To continually purify us. Amen. We fall as saints, but we don't stay in a condition of sin. We get up. Jesus, Your blood which saves me, clean me again. Clean me again. Over and over and over again. And God sees Christ in us. He sees us holy because He doesn't see us. That is the very theme of the gospel. That is the very theme of atonement and the substitution sacrifice that Christ did. That He took our place so we can take Christ's place. So every time which we don't stand in our flesh, when we stand in Christ and we go to Him alone, He purifies us. And guess what? When we do that and when we walk like those Christians, those kind of Christians is part of the bride which Christ is coming to take one day, which is without blemish, it's without wrinkle, it's white, it's pure. That is what makes up the bride of Christ. That's the church. Those are the universal believers, the universal church from wherever, that actually are living that kind of life. Now the danger is from either of position, which is a sin, those dangers, is when we fall in that position. And do you know why a pig stays in the mud? A pig doesn't stay in the mud because he is a dirty creature and we think like, the pig, a dirty creature, going there to the mud and there. He goes to the mud so he can cool off his flesh. He goes there and he enjoys the cool that the mud gives to him. And he wants to be there in the cool. That's a position that happens to us when we stay comfortable in our sin, to cool off our flesh. We stand in that position. That's a difference from the third person, which we should strive for holiness. The third person, the true Christian that we should strive for, what Christ wants from us, is yes, we fall, and definitely we fall, and sometimes we might even fall bad, but we don't stay there. There is no sense of comfort, there is no sense of conforming, as Peter calls us as well. And look how Spurgeon puts it. He puts it so well in one single sentence. He says, I believe the holier a man becomes, the more he mourns over the unholiness which remains in him. Incredible. Incredible. More mourning is in us. True repentance, not just condemnation and feeling bad, but true repentance. More we mourn, more we feel that this is bad, I fight, I want to control my body, I want to beat my body, as Paul says. I want to put my body to submission by the power of the Spirit so I can imitate Christ and be an obedient child. More we do that, more and more holy we get. And we challenge the unholiness left in us. We challenge those doors that we have locked and we have thrown the key to the sea, and then we go there by the power of the Spirit and we knock down that door and we go there and say to the Holy Spirit, take it over. Take it over and clean this room as well. I'm submitting to you this part as well. And I know you can find yourself in that. I find myself in that. And I have rooms to submit to God. Leonard Ravenhill again said, and I think can't put it better than this. Read this. The greatest miracle that God can do today is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make him holy. Then put him back into that unholy world and keep him holy in it. It's exactly what Jesus said. We live in this world, but we don't belong from this world. We are not from this world. So him to take us from unholy world, an unholy man, make us holy, put us back in it, and stay holy. Extraordinary. That's our call. And do you know what that will do? That is the best detergent that you can ever think of. And I'm sorry for that kind of metaphor, but the blood of Jesus is precious. The blood of Jesus purifies sins. Any sin. The blood of Jesus will reflect and shine through you and clean the others around you because of what has happened in you. Oh Lord, make us that person. Make me that person, oh Lord. Let's get back to the last verses because time is flying. So I'll quickly finish because it's one thought as Pastor Martin informed me in the Greek, in the original text, 17 to 21, right, Pastor? So 17 to 21 is one long sentence. So we'll conclude 13, with that.
13. The whole lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so 13 to 21. The whole text, actually. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live on your time as foreigners here in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. I quickly will finish with two thoughts, and then we have one last verse just to close this word for us today. The first thing is, it brings me to melting my heart and to break over and over again when I think of blood of Jesus. And that is why my weakness is that I struggle from this side, that I feel so bad of what I do, because of what I know that Christ paid for us, his blood. And I think when the Bible says that over and over again, and actually always mentions material things to compare for that, it's giving you the idea that You are not bought with something material, with something that has a limit. You are bought with something that has no limit. You were bought with the most precious thing God had, His Son Jesus. Amen. Yes, salvation is free, but it cost Jesus everything.
Right.
Gave His life, His blood for us. So when we think of the things that we heard, and when we think of this text, and when we strive daily, let us never forget that. And not just to make us condemn ourselves or feel bad, but to make us know, I can't stand in this position, I have to get up. Jesus, purify me. Lord, do that, Lord. Do that, that I want You more and more, and that I'll fight daily against my sin and for holiness. And the second thing is, I believe this text is perfect for the times we're living in, because it says, your faith and hope are in God. Brothers and sisters, like never before, our faith and hope are being tested. But let us never take the focus of our faith and hope from God. We will fall to desperation. We will fall to discouragement. We will fall to pettiness. We will fall to a position of unhappiness, because we focus on the conditions then. We focus on the people. We focus on ourselves. But let us always put our faith and hope in God and in God alone. To Him who made it possible to save us, to Him who is worthy to put our faith and hope, and we should believe to Him to the very end. To the one who, yes, made it possible that we could be like Jesus. Not because of us, but because of what Jesus did. And then when we walk in obedience, it's not even us doing that. It's actually walking in the steps that He had prepared for us before the foundation of the earth. I'll close with a verse from Hebrews. Hebrews 12:14. And then I'll call Pastor Martin to lead us in prayer. It says, make every effort to live in peace and with everyone, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without what we heard, no one will see the Lord. It doesn't matter if you sit in a church. It doesn't matter if you're a nominal Christian. It doesn't matter what you say. The point is, if you don't do it, it's a dead faith. If we are not the third person that we are called to be, we will not see the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, as Pastor Martin leads us to prayer, let us not take lightly this text. And I say that to myself. And let us strive daily, individually, as a family, for Him, for Jesus, because He is worthy. God bless you. Pastor Martin, will lead us in prayer.
Thank you, Pastor Dalian, and thank you all for complying with the masks. I know it's a little uncomfortable to have a mask on all this time, but we greatly appreciate you abiding by the law, the land, and the hotel, and enabling us to meet in person after all this time, which is so, so wonderful. Pastor Dalian, thank you so much for this word about holiness. And it's a great picture that we have this extreme on the left and extreme on the right, and we have this picture of Jesus in the middle. And Jesus came full of truth and full of grace. Amen. So we can't avoid all the truth and all grace. Jesus came full of truth and grace. Amen. And I just want to clarify regarding repentance. Once we're saved as Christians, we all know this. I just want to clarify it so there's no misunderstandings. We don't repent unto salvation. We repent unto restoration of our relationship. I was speaking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about this subject, and he says, well, I was saved, why would I have to repent again? I said, well, how long have you been married? And he started to laugh, because I think he knew what was coming. We made a commitment when we got married many, many years ago, but it's quite preposterous if we fell out that I would not say sorry to my wife. Wouldn't it, guys? We wouldn't get very far. And likewise, ladies. So if we have a relationship, and like Pastor Dardian so eloquently said, that the Spirit of God dwells in us as a deposit that secures our inheritance, that convicts us of sin, that leads us into all truth, that empowers us to live a victorious life and to make known the King of Kings. We repent to restore that relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to pray, and after this prayer, we will stand up and say the Lord's Prayer together. Almighty God, Prince of Peace, Abba Father, Daddy, we are your children, and we will therefore proclaim your salvation day after day. May we not be ashamed to declare your glory among the nations and his marvelous deeds amongst all the people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth, splendor and majesty are always before him. Strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory, strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that's due his names. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say amongst the nation, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks and praise to your holy name. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Dear Daddy, you desire and will require obedience, not sacrifice. As obedient children, let us not conform to the evil desires we had when we lived in ignorance. When we conceal our sins, we do not prosper. But whenever we confess and renounce them, we find mercy. Repent then, and let us turn to God so our sins may be wiped out and the times of refreshing and restoration may come from the Lord. For we have all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. But we are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we are in awe of your holy splendor. You alone are worthy of worship and all honor. You invite us into your presence to give ourselves as an offering that you may transform us with your holiness. May we shine with your holiness as you shape us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we, like Pastor Dardian preached, may be a living reflection of your character. Holy God, show us how to purify ourselves from the pollution of this world. Guard our hearts and help us to focus in the beauty of your holiness. Give us strength to walk away from the arrogance of our own thoughts and desires and actions. Transform us into the image of your Son in perfect holiness. Shine on us, Holy God. Father God, We don't like discipline. And we would never choose to suffer if we were dependent upon our selfish desires, because we want to avoid discomfort. But we know that if these things were not part of life's experience, we would stay immature, ineffective believers, rather than growing into a purified, kingdom-changing followers of the living God. Give us strength to endure your loving discipline, because a father disciplines those children he loves. Your wisdom, give us wisdom to know that you're in the midst of our sufferings, and a submissive spirit to allow the refining fire to do its work, making us holy just as you are holy.
Amen.
Shine on us, holy God. Lord, we want to lift up the sick amongst you. Specifically, we want to pray for Susanna. We thank you for the surgery. We pray, Lord, that this cancer would be gone once and for all. We pray that you would touch and shrink and heal it completely. We pray for a full restoration of her body in Jesus' name. We pray the same for Kristin, who's undergoing treatment in Norway. We pray, Lord, that you would touch her, that you would shrink this cancer, that the doctors would know that there is a living God who heals his children. Be glorified amongst your children, O Lord, because we are now that you're the God that heals. And I pray for those that I have not mentioned, that are sick, that may be struggling, that may be in financial need, that may need a touch of you, that may be suffering because of families, those that have lost loved ones, the God of all comfort. Comfort your children, O Lord, with the power of your Spirit. Lord, sometimes we feel so alone, but we know that you'll never leave us or forsake us. So touch us, we pray. And the Word of God says that a time is coming, and it has now has already come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your time. If you would be upstanding, please, and we would recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. If you please remain standing, we will sing one more song, and Nick will close the service with a benediction. We don't come round with the tithes or offerings. If you want to give, there's a basket at the back. Please don't give under compulsion or under guilt, because God loves a cheerful giver. But I would like to share something. And this is something Pastor John Macy said when I worked in Teen Challenge United Kingdom. John Macy was the founder of Teen Challenge United Kingdom, and he was for a long time the vice president of Teen Challenge worldwide. And he said, if you want to measure holiness, if you think you're more holy than you are, he said, check your bank balance and look at your spending. And he said, that's a good way to measure your holiness. Now, I say that in fun. Maybe a little seriousness there, but please do not feel obligated to give. And I really mean this. because God wants your heart, not your money. He's not interested in your money. Everything in this world already belongs to Him. Every piece of gold in the ground, every diamond, everything is His already. But He wants your heart. He wants your heart because He paid for you with His precious blood. And you're worth far more than any piece of gold or any diamond, because you're true and precious in His sight. So God bless you. Thank you, Maya.
Thank you, God.
And Nicola, of course. Sorry.